Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF.
Growing up, I saw myself as the slow kid, or the unpopular kid, or maybe you were the poor kid. Or maybe you didn't have much talent for band or football or any team sport. But you decided I could be a pleaser and a fixer and a helper and a problem solver. And if people saw that in me, that I could fix problems, maybe they would need me and maybe they would keep me and maybe they would enjoy me if I fixed their life and made things better and I was a helper, pleaser, fixer. Maybe then they would keep me.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another episode of the PSR podcast, which is a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries. In this episode, I sit down with my friend and decades-long colleague, Dr. Stephen Cervantes, to explore our shared struggles with seeking approval and what it means to be an approval junkie. Together, we reflect on why we crave affirmation from childhood to adulthood and how this shapes our sense of belonging and self-worth. We discuss the dangers of letting approval define us, the role of leaders in fostering healthy communities, and ultimately, how true acceptance comes from God's unconditional love. So join us as we unpack these honest, relatable experiences, encourage one another towards deeper healing and authentic connection. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, you can visit our website at bebroken.org or check out some of the links that we're going to put in today's show notes to help you take your next step. And of course, friends, we're always going to ask that you rate and review the podcast to help others find it. Now, let's get into today's raw and real conversation about approval. Well, all right. Welcome, Stephen. Dr. Marriage, how's it going today?
I am good. Dr. Cervantes is doing well. Dr. Marriage is floating in this brand new year we've just entered.
Yeah, so one of the topic for today, I mean, I think the headline really got me, the idea of confessions of a recovering approval junkie.
Oh,
and
do we know any of those guys?
Well, as soon as I saw that term approval junkie, I'm like, oh, this might end up being convicting, because I can totally relate to just that idea of craving approval, needing people to say you're okay, I like what you do, I mean, you're awesome, you know.
Isn't that good? You're blessing me as you say that. It makes me happy, you know, to hear. Even though you're not saying it to me, I'm hearing it as you say it in my direction.
Yeah.
You
know?
So
what prompted this idea or this thought?
Well, it's so funny because, you know, I write posts on Dr. Marriage, and people will say, oh, is that you? Oh, is that you? Oh, is that you? Like, everyone's of them is me. It's too funny.
Yeah.
But the truth is, they are some me.
Oh, yeah.
And they are some guy I met this week and two other friends I know.
Hmm.
And so whenever I write, it's always a composite.
Yeah.
Because, like, who wants to tell just your story? You know what I mean? It's okay, but it's limited. But when you put us together as a group and you make composites, it's much richer and deeper. And so,
if you think about it, even for you to decide what things you're going to write about, is that not being filtered through your own story, your own thoughts, your own, you know what I mean? So you're still choosing, what do I want to put down on paper, you know?
And there's so many stories that we've heard from people, and they all blend together. And
right.
And we were people that love patterns, You know, we run, they're called habits, right? We do routines because we love patterns. And so when you see this in someone, you see pieces of it in everyone. Because who doesn't want approval?
Right.
But the question is, are you an approval junkie? Do you need too much of it? Do you have to get a fix today? Does it, you know, wake you up in the morning and put you to bed at night?
Was that, yeah, is that what you're living for?
Yeah, yeah, right. Did I get enough approval today? So the whole idea that we need approval because it's better than the opposite, rejection. And there's an aspect of inclusion and value and worth that all gets mixed in here together.
Well, you know, I think about we had done a podcast earlier. I think it was near the end of last year. And where one of the topics that we were talking about was attunement, right?
Yes.
And how, so in early childhood, like when you were an infant, when you're a baby, there that is such a an innate need.
Yes.
That a child has to say, am I mirroring? I'm trying to attune to this adult, this parent in my life. And so when they smile, I smile. When, you know, there's a sense in which, and that's, is that not a form of approval? Like there's acceptance there, but
acceptance,
it's like,
yes.
You know, you can,
and connection.
I've got a little granddaughter. She's not even a year old yet. And it's funny to me, the things that we celebrate just because she can do it, like, you rolled over. Yeah. You know, it's like that kind of stuff, you know, where that's approval. Like, you did a good thing there. Yay, I'm so proud of you.
And that's a beautiful insight, how early we need approval and want approval. And approval is like safety at some level.
And I think it's important to say at this point, it is a good need. It is a good thing. So even though we're going to go to a place where maybe it's being used in a way that is not healthy or not good, the idea of an approval junkie.
Yeah.
The idea of approval, that's the way God made us. We are made for needing honor and approval and acceptance.
So true. So true. So, and this thought is, we have a deep longing to be seen and valued and affirmed. Right? So, and that's kind of in us, built in us for community and fellowship. But we're going to go over 7 thoughts here that I want to share, and you can check yourself and see if you've had any of these thoughts or if you can build on our list. And thought number 1, I know all of my weaknesses and shortcomings. When you like me, it reassures me that my flaws are not big enough to keep you from being my friend.
Wow. Wow, that's really good. And I mean, isn't it interesting how, again, kind of getting back to the idea that approval in and of itself is actually a good thing. This is a person in some ways kind of acknowledging that, but also saying, when you say, Stephen, when you say, Jonathan, you did a great job on that, you know, fill in the blank with whatever it is. In that moment, I go,
approval.
You're not looking at all of the other things that are wrong with me. And in this moment, there's something that you say is right with you. There's something that is good with you, you know?
I love that.
And so it's kind of like, oh.
I'm okay.
I know where all the skeletons and bodies are buried in my life. And you just said, I'm not looking at those right now. I think you did something good.
That is good. So thought number 2, I have long craved the approval of leaders. Because I've wanted people in positions of power to notice me and affirm me, that I'm unique, I'm valued, I'm seen by someone that's a leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think this is, you know, where the first thought you were talking about, like, hey, you're acknowledging that you might be able to be my friend. We're more like peers, and you've just approved of me. There is a sense in which if somebody in authority can say they approve you, that feels like a positional switch, like almost like a positional
higher level.
Yeah, it's like I've been pulled up into a place.
Yes.
Like if you have somebody in authority. Now, also, is this not where so many people's deep wounds lie? Is because somebody misused their authority
in order to abuse or use
or manipulate. Wow. And so there's this, but this is still kind of an innate need for somebody that, I mean, think about again, child and parent. Is it not, is, I mean, how many times have we heard in our intensives 40, 50, 60-year-old men say, I've been waiting my whole life for my dad to say he's proud of me.
Right. He never said he loved me.
I've been waiting my whole
me.
Life for my yes. dad to say, you did a great job.
Yes.
And it's like there's a deep wound there because there's a seeking of, I so want somebody in authority
to say you did a great job. Me, right? Because mm-hmm. it means something. You've acquired a position and a title. You're an expert and you say I'm good.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I must be good. Even though I know all the skeletons in the closet. Right. For the moment, I'm recognized and good.
Mm-hmm.
So thought number three, I've desired the approval of attractive or admired people in a group, because if they see me and affirm me, it feels like my value increases. So the pretty people, the socially connected, the popular people in a crowd, you know those people, you see them right away, they attract attention, they get recognition, they're esteemed and valued.
I'm smiling because this thought takes me right back to like middle school and high school. And I feel like this is the primary like focus of everyone. Like where's the in crowd? Where are the people that, you know, like the clique that you want to be part of? Like, oh man, how do I get into that group? How do I get
it's
to be,
true.
You know, how can they say, come on, you belong over here. You're part of us. It's like, oh man, everybody's craving like, and there's always only one or two particular groups that everybody goes, they're at the top of the food chain. They're like, they're the groups that everybody wants to be in.
Well, and you know, you think about how do those people get to the middle? A lot of time they're pretty people. You know, beauty has power, right? But the smart people can be there too.
Mm.
Or the people with money.
Yeah.
Or if your dad is a senator, an officer, an official, you can get some power off that. If your dad owns a business in town, the most popular business, right? There are ways that you get to the middle and hold power in a crowd. It's like those people, they found some magic. I want that. Whatever that is, I want that.
You know? Yeah, and maybe this is a good point or a good place to say that, you know, I think one of the fundamental aspects of approval is that we want to have a place to belong.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, even in all these thoughts so far, I think belonging is a huge part of our desire for approval. Do I belong? Yeah. Are you saying that I can be part of this group? Can I be part of your circle? Can I be part of your friend
yes.
group, you know?
Belonging. I want to be seen, right? I want to be heard. You know, the old, some people will remember this, the old bar on Cheers.
Oh, yeah.
You want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. And problems, they're all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. Right. And isn't there something sweet about you walking into a room, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Right. There's just something sweet about that recognition and approval.
Now, if you're under 40, go and Google the Cheers theme song, you know, and you'll know.
Oh, there you go. Thank you for that. So this next one, you know, if you've been in church, you know, your whole life, if you belong to churches, then you realize this next one. And this junkie said, I wanted the approval of church leaders since they are seen as workers of God. Their affirmation has felt like proof that I'm spiritually accepted and acceptable. And maybe even there's some good godness in me when the church leaders see me.
Yeah. Some of that is, again, how we have, misappropriated this idea that pastors and church leaders are somehow spiritually unique or different.
Yeah.
And so, but this is true. I think there's a lot of people that will say, man, if I could get a pastor or an elder at my church to say, you know, put their arm around me and go, that's right, you did a great job there. It feels different from maybe somebody in any other type of position of authority. Because, you know, if you've got somebody that's president of a bank or somebody like you mentioned,
right.
It's like, okay, that's a, in some ways that feels like that's a different ladder to climb. Mm. Whereas if somebody in spiritual authority puts their arm around me, I feel like, oh my goodness, you've just brought me closer to God. Or I feel like I'm somehow, you know, levitating and elevated spiritually.
And be good enough to be talking to you. And,
right.
And for us to have an equal conversation. You're trained in the religious institutions and you have the title and you got the degree and mm-hmm. and people listen to you and you see me and you talk to me.
And you know what? I think this is also another good point to make this this statement is that means for those who are in positions of authority, we need to be very sober-minded about how we engage others because of mm-hmm. sometimes what the perception may be. If you're in any position of authority, you do have a, I would say, a power and a responsibility around this issue of approval yeah. in let's be careful of how we communicate that. For instance, I'm talking to pastors and church leaders here. Mm. Be careful about affirming the false assumption that somehow you actually are spiritually above anyone else on planet Earth. It's like, that's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
If you start thinking that way, because then you can start thinking, you know what? I think I am. I'm anointed in a different way and I am super special. And there's something inherently different with me in terms of my relationship with God. It's like, oh, careful. You know, that's
and we want to elevate those. We want people, we want our faith to really work in people's lives. We want to see it. Look, it transformed you. Look how good he is. But there's danger in that.
But I'm arguing that the example that pastors and church leaders are to set is that of Jesus, who was willing to wash feet, yes. to be the servant of all, to love by giving his life away. That's a very different way of being a spiritual leader. It's not up here. No. It's actually down here, you know.
That's good. So thought number five is, if I'm seen and included, then I belong. And belonging makes me feel safer, especially in a group or community, in a fellowship, in a gathering, you know, a class. When I am seen and enjoyed, and somebody's happy when they see me and enjoy me, then I immediately think, well, I belong with you. You and I are a team. Whoever you are, immediately there's a sense of belonging. And then I guess we're concluding there must be a deep need in all of us.
Yeah, you know what I think about? What I think about this thought, I'm going, this of all the thoughts to this point, doesn't really have anything that is unhealthy in it. Mm. I believe that this confession is spot on because when we're seen and included, we do feel a sense of belonging there. And there is a type of safety in that. And when we can be part of a group or a community or fellowship, I believe that is us experiencing what we were made for. We were made for belonging and community. These other ones, they can have a little strain of, ooh, that's making it an idol or that's making it something unhealthy. I feel like this is the confession that goes, you got it. This is what like approval is meant to be. It's meant to be part of being pulled in to a safe group, to a group that says, you know what? We call them grace-based groups in our ministry, right? Like, hey, come on in. You're an image bearer of God, and we love to have you here, and we want to get to know you and hear your story.
And you belong.
And think about what that does for the person. Then there is a sense of, oh, I feel safe here. I feel like I can actually maybe confess my sin or tell, you know, things about me that are vulnerable and difficult.
So it sounds like we're trying to answer this question. Am I good or am I bad? Because if the popular people and the people, if they see me, doesn't that make me look good? Mm-hmm. Aren't I good? I know my secrets. I know my shortcomings. And I remember how I failed. I've been told I failed. But am I good or am I bad? Mm-hmm. And if I carry too much badness in me, shortcomings, failings, I'm making up the word badness, but if I carry too much pain and ugly in me, don't I want to work really hard to kind of balance that out with approval? If I can get a lot of approval, it doesn't really change me, right? All this approval does not change me. If I don't like me and I think I'm bad, you get all the approval you want. It's for show and to look like you belong. But if you carry pain and unworthiness.
Yeah, another way to put it is like, you know, approval in and of itself is not the thing that's going to heal our deep wounds. It's not the thing that's going to alter our core fear. One way to put it, too, is, you know, let's say in a day you get 10 statements of approval from somebody in authority, someone who loves you, your spouse, whatever, and you get one disapproval.
Mm.
And it's as if, like, if your template is, I must have approval, it's like you can toss the 10 positive approvals out of the way. The one disapproval is all your folks are, I'm bad, I'm terrible,
yeah.
I'm worthless. And so another way to put this is also that I think we have really deep shame lies about our identity. And if we're looking for approval in and of itself to be the thing that is going to heal us of those shame lies, it's insufficient. It's not going to do it.
Right. So if I'm bad and believe I'm bad, I'm going to create as much good around me sort of to deflect.
To kind of mask it.
To hide it, to get you to believe it. Because if you believe I'm good, then that's kind of close. It doesn't really go inside and fix anything. But but if you think I'm good because I'm around the pretty people and the popular people and the people of position and title and wealth and the social climbers and I belong there, then I look normal, but I feel bad.
Exactly, yeah.
So growing up, thought number six, I saw myself as the slow kid. Or the unpopular kid, or maybe you were the poor kid, or maybe you didn't have much talent for band or football or any team sport, but you decided I could be a pleaser and a fixer and a helper and a problem solver. And if people saw that in me, that I could fix problems, maybe they would need me and maybe they would keep me and maybe they would enjoy me if I fixed their life and made things better and I was a helper, pleaser, fixer, maybe then they would keep me.
Yeah, this is the idea of like, I'm going to go on a quest to earn the approval of others, which is, by the way, that's super common. I mean, for instance, let's go back to the high school scenario. You've got, you know, the pretty people in their little group, and you've got somebody that says, I want to try to sort of break into that group. What are they going to do? They're going to be like, almost become like the little gopher for the popular people. Hey, I can do that for you. I'll help you. Yeah. I'll carry your bag. I'll do, you know, and they're trying because it's like, man, if I can work my way, if I can be the pleaser and the fixer, and you know what? I'll do your homework for you. Kinds of things.
I'll clean your car.
Right.
I'll run that errand. Sure. I'll go spend my money and buy you that thing.
And yet, I think this is the thought that might be the saddest for how it actually works out in reality. Because what the pleasers eventually discover is that there's a deeper pain when you realize, one, that trying to earn approval doesn't always work. And secondly, even if you get the approval, it's not sweet because it wasn't a gift. It was like, hey, great job, you know. The popular person saying, Steve, thanks for doing my homework. All right, next week I got another assignment I need to do. It's like,
it's a setup, right?
It is,
you're
totally
going to take advantage of me.
Yeah.
And I'm desperate for your approval. And then I just get used.
Yeah.
Right? So the final thought is, I'm deeply aware of my flaws and my failures and my weaknesses. And too often I let them define me. They gnaw at me. They crawl on. They live in my brain. They flash before me, and I can never get away from them. I don't always see myself as very good, maybe even sometimes bad, weak, less than. But that's not how I want you to see me.
Mm.
You know, I want you to see me as valued and having worth and being important.
This is in our ministry. This is where we talk about what we call image building. Is we do a lot of image building, meaning I'm going to work really hard to cover my flaws, to project an image, to build an image of myself that I present to you that is easier to approve of. So in other words, I'm not going to tell you about my addictions or my selfishness or all that. I'm not going to expose it. I'm going to create an image of like, hey, he's a nice guy. He's fun. He's a pleaser. He's a whatever. So that's a much more, that has more potential for being an approved image than if I let you see the raw, real me. It's like, well, guess what? Who's going to want me in their group? You know, nobody's going to want this
flawed
guy.
I don't even want me. What the heck? Why would you want me?
Right.
Yeah. So a closing reflection is we all want to be seen and loved. But a desperate need for approval signals turmoil, disapproval, dislike, failing, being bad, the ugly stuff living too large in us.
Yeah, and I think this is where we need to say, you know, for anybody listening and or watching and you're hearing this and you're going, and maybe one or two or maybe several of these thoughts, you go, boy, that's one that I really spin that one a lot. That's the one. Or maybe it's really brought up some shame lies where you go, yeah, I try to hide that. I don't want anybody to know that I think, you know, I'm unlovable or that I'm, you know, whatever. Is we need to recognize that while God made us for approval, the only approval that will actually heal our hearts and transform our lives is what's found in the approval of God through Christ. Like when we understand that, think of it this way, you could look at all of those thoughts that we were talking about the kind of the confessions of an approval junkie, and all of them you could draw a straight line and say, you can have that deepest longing for approval fully met only in Christ. Because here's the one who says, guess what? You know, I know everything that's behind the image that you try to project. I know everything that's behind the motive of you're trying to please people. I know right. Everything that's behind that. I've paid the penalty for all your failures, all your flaws, and I still say, I want you to be part of my group. I want you to be part of my family.
Yes.
And isn't that powerful?
It's like wonderful.
And so it kind of can release us from that idea of I've got to be an approval junkie. Like I've got to try to get your approval,
right.
Steve. When I know I have the approval of the God of the universe, then I can have a different kind of relationship or dialogue with you, right?
I'm much more restful.
Yeah. I'm not trying to get you to be convinced that I'm something great. Right. You know, it's like we can just be friends, you know?
And if I've got to convince you you're great, it's exhausting because you screw up. And I say, no, you're great, great, man. You forgot. You ran late. Oh, no, but you're great. You're great. But you forgot to be organized. Hey, but you're great. You're great.
That's good.
Right? I mean, it's like we just need to rest in the loving acceptance of Abba.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read the prayer and you read the scripture, okay?
Sure, yeah.
Father, thank you for seeing me and knowing me and loving me. Mm. Please help me move from emotional unworthiness to these spiritual truths. I am chosen. I've been given grace. I've been forgiven. And I've been made whole. I love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And the verse is from Isaiah 43, chapter 43, verse 1. Do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine.
Oh, amen.
That's the approval we need, right?
That's the approval.
He says, you're mine. You're mine. You're my son. You're my daughter.
And you think about when somebody criticizes me, but I have the love of the Father deep in my soul, anchored deep in my soul, it's easier to take your disapproval. It still hurts some.
Sure, you know, yeah.
Who wants rejection? But it's like, oh no, you're broken humanity too, and you're trying to tell me I'm not good. Hey, have you looked inside lately? I know something about you, your humanity. You grew up. You made misses. So let's just walk in the love of God and not need the approval of other broken human beings.
Absolutely. And we want to invite you as we kind of close here that if this has stirred things in you, and I'm sure it has, I mean, we're human beings, right? We're broken humans. So if this has stirred some things up, like maybe some shame lies, or you're realizing I'm the approval junkie that you're talking about, we want to help you take your next best step to wholeness in Christ. And so reach out to us, and we'd love to help you do that. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.